Daniel regaling the folks with some more Boss Gags. Boss Gags happening tonight at the Paramount. Yep. Gonna hang out there for that. Folks pretty excited about what's going on with this Longhorn football team, and which at this point brings us to the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
So, as Boss Gags would say, here's the dirty lowdown. I'll get that from Jeff right now.
I think of everything Sark said in that news conference.
Yes.
The one thing that stood out to me the most was when he was asked about, he mentioned, look, we're not going to be naive to the fact that we're, even though he wasn't here, he said, we're not going to be naive to the fact that we're 2-7 against TCU in the last 9 years.
Uh-huh.
But I love when he was asked, how do you talk to the players about how to handle that? Basically, what do you do to get over that? And with a stone-cold, just stern look on his face, said, we're going to show up on Saturday at 11 o'clock and kick off and play football.
Yeah. And I retweeted it, and I missed his wording by one. I left out the word kickoff. I put Fort Worth in there. I was thinking, we're going to show up at Saturday morning at 11 in Fort Worth and play football. I like kickoff better, which is what he actually said. I'm going to kick off and play football, which is true. And again, Jeff and I have played this tune many, many, many times already in the 9 months that Sark has been here, and is the old thing about paying for the sins of the past. And folks are still going to keep bringing it up. They'll say, well, they haven't done this and hadn't done that and hadn't done this. And, Texas Tech had won two matchups in Austin before this, and they were looking for their third win in Austin in their last four tries before last Saturday happened. And there'll be, there'll be folks looking for and some expecting, or at least expecting a real reasonable possibility of TCU extending its recent really good run against Texas as well.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise, it's going to continue to be brought up by folks.
Just spoiler alert for later in the week, I'm not going to pick Texas to win this game.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to give this program the benefit of the doubt for a couple of reasons, Greg, and I think this is kind of our theme of the week. We talked about this coming out of the Louisiana win going into the Arkansas game.
Mm-hmm.
Can this team and can this program handle success? They didn't do it very well under Tom Herman.
No.
Obviously didn't do it well at all under Charlie Strong.
Yep.
So can they handle success? I'd like to think that based on what happened in the Arkansas game and what Sark has talked about with the 2 weeks of preparation, the preparation leading up to the Rice game, the preparation and practice he called last week, said it was from an intensity and intent standpoint, their best week of practice all year was leading up to the Texas Tech game.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to, again, one of my offseason themes. Guys understand now that that is what the standard is. If you want to get to where you want to be, the guy leading it over in Tuscaloosa, how often do we hear him talk about the process?
Yep, the process.
That's what it's all about. That's what the standard is. The standard should be you are so confident and so comfortable with what you're being asked to do that by the time you get to Saturday, more often than not, that's going to take care of itself if you do things the right way. So do guys understand that, look, that's if you want to beat the TCUs and the Oklahomas, the way you prepared for Rice and Texas Tech, given the results you put on the field, that's how it's got to be.
Sark is definitely his own man, and he's been asked this in news conference. He's been asked this in media availabilities through Zoom. He's been asked this in public functions. He's been asked this on Longhorn Weekly from me. So he's not a stranger to this question of how much Nick Saban are you and how much Pete Carroll are you because of his influence. And his universal answer is usually it's an amalgam. There's some of both. He likes the personality, connection with the players that Carroll always had. He loves the unbelievable, he says, organization of what Nick Saban is. And we see a little bit of it. He's never brought that up on his own. He's always been asked that. And then when he's asked that, that's his response. I'd like to think I'm somewhere in between. And I think we've seen that somewhere in between. Now, having said all that, from that organizational side of it, I think we've seen, I can definitely see the relationship. I can definitely see how he has enacted it in terms of certain elements of the way the program has been run, the way they do practice, the way that he handles things like availabilities, the way that he handles certain organizational elements. It definitely has kind of the Saban stamp on it. By the same token.
Can I give you a really good example of that?
Absolutely.
When we were down at the THSEA convention and he did his lecture, and one of my coaching buddies, I won't say which high school he's at, but if he's listening to this, he knows, comes up to me afterward. He's like, did you catch the part about how they work out? If you're in a Texas off-season workout, it's the certain color shirt tucked in with the certain color shorts, white socks, black cleats. And I know that might sound, you know, like why is that something you should be concerned with? My coaching buddy says, he's like, that's a Saban deal, 100%. Like, there's a standard for how you're going to dress when you work out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody's going to look the same.
Yeah. And it's a perfect example.
I know that might sound small, but when you're talking about it, I've heard Jimbo Fisher say this. I've heard Kirby Smart say it. A lot of guys that have worked for Nick Saban, the one thing they take from him that they talk about, I'm sure there's a lot, but more often than not, it's just how organized he is and how strictly you have to pay attention to detail to be able to do what he does.
Yeah, devil in the details, and you're right, and that's where he is. So that was my point about all of this, is that there are certain things that he has pulled from his coaching experiences, but that organizational element is something that is unmistakable here early.
For sure.
Okay, so some notebook things, some other takeaways.
Yeah, I asked him about recruiting and how it went over the weekend. You can get over to Horns 24/7 right now and get Mike Roach's Stampede. It drops every Monday morning, and it recaps this massive recruiting weekend the Longhorns just had. And Craig Sark echoed a lot of the things you and I talked about last week. Felt like the 11 o'clock kickoff for the team, it benefited them because at 11 o'clock they're getting off the practice field every day, so they're used to functioning early in the morning. Not a big adjustment for them. And with the 11 o'clock kickoff, gives you more time to spend with recruits afterwards. And I know some people might look at that and say, well, what if you lose the game? You got to understand, and I thought Mike did a really good job of laying this out last week when he was in studio with us on Friday. And you'll hear him say this a lot, and I've been around this long enough. Craig, you've been around this long enough to know. I mean, recruits don't look at things from a game-to-game standpoint, right? Like, I've seen Texas reel in really good recruiting classes off of losing seasons. So don't look at, well, what if you lose a game? No, it's the amount of time that this staff got to spend with prospects after the game was over.
Sure.
You know, if you're done with everything, post-game, whatever, you know, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, then – after that, then you've got the rest of the day to spend, you know, hosting recruits and doing whatever, and you can be there like you normally would till 9, 10, 11 o'clock that night. So worked out really well over the weekend. I think this could be a similar situation looking forward if, in fact, that Oklahoma State game is an 11 a.m. kick. And I know Joel Klatt has already come out and said he's expecting, or at least a couple of weeks ago, it was on the schedule for him to work that game. And when you look at the college football schedule that weekend, it's not great. And Fox really has a pick of two games, whichever one you're going to put in that big noon, because there's nothing on the Big Ten slate,
right?
And they're not going to put a Pac-12 game on that early.
Right.
It's either TCU, OU, or Texas, Oklahoma State.
Well, we can see where it's trending.
Yeah. So I think if it is an 11 o'clock game, Arch Manning's coming in that weekend. You got a lot of big-time visitors that weekend. Again, that'll be really good for recruiting because win or lose, it's that amount of time they're going to get to spend with prospects once the game's over. So I asked Sark about that. I thought, you know, a lot of this stuff, today's press conference, Craig, felt like just kind of cleanup from Saturday more so than anything. Did praise Gary Patterson's defense, you know, even though, gosh, SMU ran for 350 on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting Texas to go for 350. to go for 350 on Saturday. But at any rate, praise Gary Patterson's defense. And you know, talking about the offensive line, kind of some of the things that they really, again, he talked about this on Saturday, but stressing the importance of straining to finish blocks, finishing in the run game, as Denzel Okafor walks by, all that stuff that you've seen.
Go Fighting Farmers.
All that stuff that was evident in the Rice game that got better in the Texas Tech game just said, hey, look, they made it a point. You've got to strain to finish blocks. You've got to get to the second level, things that are demanded of that group, and they've done that. So overall, a lot of cleanup. But, I really go back to talking about the TCU problem. He addressed it and said, all they're going to do, they're going to show up in Fort Worth on Saturday at 11 o'clock and kick off and go play football.
Yeah, it's in its simplest motion. They go back, they're in that work mode and, blocking out outside things. And it's not even outside positivity or negativity. It's just everything else, just anything. And, again, it rolls back to that Saban thing about distractions. And do you allow yourself to step away from the process in order to be paying attention to things that are not essential to your preparation for, going out and playing winning football?
Well, the offensive line he talked about, it's not enough to just be assignment right. Love this quote. At the end of the day, you still have to defeat your man. That's one thing we had to get across, and we've seen the improved O-line play the last 2 weeks. He made a joke, and again, props to the sports information staff. This is the first time in school history where Texas has gone back-to-back games without punting. Sark said, I've never been around where you haven't punted for 2 weeks. As far as he was asked about what's standing out on defense right now, he said the play of Moro Ojimo, Keandre Coburn's effort, singled out DeMarvian Overshown, how well he's playing, Josh Thompson's physicality and communication, Anthony Cook's play, and Luke Brockermeyer's ability to find the football is what's standing out on defense. The injury situation remains status quo, which if that's the case, don't expect to see Troy O'Meary or Jadae Barron on the field in the TCU game. And he was asked about Xavier Worthy again, who not only was he Big 12 Newcomer of the Week, 24/7 Sports National True Freshman of the Week as well. Called him a mature competitor, said nothing has been too big for him since he stepped on campus. Quote, he's wired the right way DNA-wise, that's for sure. And obviously, we can tell that on the field.
And you asked him about the injury, so it is good to know that there are no significant injuries other than what is they're already dealing with.
No, somebody asked about Keelan Robinson, too.
Yeah.
Asking about shoulder. To me, it looked like he fell on the ball wrong and, like, maybe got the wind knocked out of him or little stomach rib situation. But, nothing as far as Sark said. They came out of that game healthy, which is – I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say anything about injury recovery prevention, but just it's good they came out of the game healthy.
There you go. It's interesting. The four
I'm already being blamed, Craig, for the resurgence of Arkansas football, so I don't want to be blamed for anything else on this show today.
Yeah, that last year with the deal about – what's it? Was it pray for 2-8?
Pray for 2-8, hope for 1-9, expect 0-10.
Words that will live in infamy.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm on the bulletin board in Sam Pittman's office. I don't know.
I do find it interesting. The four players honored for the Big 12 Honors of the Week came from two teams and two games. Offensive Player of the Week, Casey Thompson. Freshman of the Week, Xavier Worthy. Special Teams Player of the Week, Tristan Ebner, had a big kickoff return, and Garmin Randolph of Baylor, who had his first career interception and six tackles, including one for loss against Iowa State. Garmin Randolph of Baylor, your defensive player of the week.
They did end up making that a co-award, Craig. Malcolm Rodriguez from Oklahoma State.
All right. Don't want to short the Cowboys. So they did factor into that. Okay, that is a co-defensive player of the week. We've got a couple other things we'll get to when we come back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app. Be there.
That's right. I forgot. My bad.
It's all right. It's okay.
Got a lot going on.
I know. You're working hard at cranking it out there. I did find it interesting. You pointed it out, and for folks, because the interaction in social media when it comes to Big 12 football, and in this specific case, Texas, but I think it's universal in the Big 12. The interaction never seems to be more active than it is about kickoff times. And remember, right. remember how heated Oklahoma was about the Nebraska game being an 11 a.m. kick and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then there were, I've seen some people responding when I tweeted out, you know, a little over an hour ago or right at about an hour ago that no surprise, no shock here, it's 11 a.m. kick. And some folks are like, hey, that's good, that's fine, let's get there. And other people, us fans, we hate it, we hate it. Hey, listen, like I said, as a broadcaster, it's not my ideal time. But listen, it's about what works best for the team if it works best. And they have no control over that.
No.
None. It's all done through the television networks. They're the ones who pick it because Fox and or ABC, in this case of the OU game, or ESPN, that's where their biggest number rating windows have yeah. reflected. Now, numbers are there.
Here's one thing to file away. I know we're getting up against it. And I'm out of my depth discussing such matters, but who gets what? I have heard that basically before the season starts, mm-hmm. and it kind of seems to alternate years, so Fox 1 year will get first dibs on what they want.
That is correct.
1 year ESPN, ABC will get first dibs on what they want. Since Fox got Texas OU last year,
yep.
that's why that game is going to ABC, ESPN this year. But, Craig, this is what your football day is going to be like on October 9th.
Okay.
In that that 11 a.m. window, you're probably going to – you'll have Texas OU.
Yep.
Most likely, Fox has announced Big Noon. I think that'll be Penn State, Iowa.
Makes sense.
And either Ole Miss, Arkansas, or Georgia, Auburn. Whichever one of those SEC games isn't at 11 a.m. will be your 2:30 on CBS, and then your nightcap in primetime on CBS will be Alabama at A&M.
Okay. So there you are.
I freaking love college football. That's
going
to be one
I knew where this was
hell
going.
Of a day. If I didn't have to work the Texas OU game, I would just park myself on the couch all day and enjoy it.
There you go. All right. If you missed any of the Sark Presser, you can hear it archived. Stay tuned. Up next, Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey, their thoughts on that as well. For our man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel, and for my co-host, Jeff Al, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here on Light the Tower.
Meanwhile, on the Horn Afternoon Show.
We have a nice lady here who's just trying to go up.